I make a lot of mistakes, and so does God. He makes a dachshund, and then an elephant, and a squirrel, and a whale, like me. He's tried everything, like me. He has no style. Style only comes out the other end.
Hey folks, this is Juan Navarro, really exhausted, still getting over the Orlando MegaCon. It was a great time, saw a lot of people, it was awesome to have you guys, awesome to talk to you guys, it was amazing fun. I'm just still recovering from it, so tired. Recording this and putting it together, I was thinking about different ways of talking about it, but I said, you know what, the best thing I can do is put the panel that I was on. It was the Independent Comics panel, and it was one of those things where, you know, just for participating, it was kind of fun, but it was the other side of the coin. It was like also kind of cool to be on stage with such guys as Brian Pulido, the creator of Lady Death, and Jeff Kaufman, who did Tarot and so many other comics back in the day, alongside my classic sidekick Martin Piero and other indie creators. So it was kind of cool to be in that, and there was a lot of little surprises at the panel. Instead of having the full audio setup that I really wanted to do, I recorded this on my iPhone. But I was surprised that between the mics and everybody talking and everything, if anything, you can get a lot of info. It's still all there. It shouldn't be too bad. Especially at least when Brian and Jeff were talking, they were using the mic, so it was good, and it was between us and everything else. So check it out. Let me know what you think. Again, everybody I saw at MegaCon, you were awesome. You were beautiful. Great. Thank you guys so much. And I'll talk to you a little bit more afterwards. Bye.
We're going to die.
Interrupt and just welcome everybody to Psychotherapy with Jeff Kaufman. Now this is actually the Indie Comics panel. Indie Comics panel. How many of you guys are making comics or want to make comics? Pretty much everybody here. And I just want to point this out so nobody else points it out. There's a lot of ladies in the audience, but there's not a single lady up there. That's telling something, ladies. Let's get out there and make your comics, all right? Just going to get that out there front and center. But we're really honored to have some really talented people up here today. We were listening to Jeff talk about his family, you know, sometimes juggling all your concerns with your family and making a comic and getting your creative juices is very tough. We're going to start with you, Jeff. Introduce yourself. Tell us what you're doing. Get real promotional. We want everybody here to know what you're doing. And if you're too humble, I'll come back to you and say, you got to tell more. All right? So I don't want you guys to be, you know, feeling bad if these guys are overly promotional. That's part of the game. Jeff, take it away.
Real quick, I'm Jeff Kaufman. I'm a writer. I've done a bunch of graphic novels, everything from, I worked for Image, started off my career doing a book called Ant for Image, which was owned by somebody else. And then I became my own publisher, which was basically a nightmare. It was, you know, 4 to 5 issues a month, which the therapy I needed was great. And then I started doing graphic novels and having my books published through other companies because there was a certain amount of comfort in not wanting to pull your hair out dealing with that stuff.
And okay, we're gonna stop and go down.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Go on.
It's Sunday. It is impossible to offend me right now. But I did, real quick, the last 3 graphic novels were Terminal Alice, our children's book, Horror, Angel Falling. Our new book is Bayou Bound, which comes out in August. And believe it or not, we actually did a children's book because of I got tired of not having something for a child on my desk. And my kid can't read anything, so the nice idea was actually to do a children's book. And what I noticed about most children's books is they most suck. They really do. The artwork looks like it took like about maybe 2-3 hours per page. So what we did was we did... they were basically 16 by 20 canvases, paintings, and it took about a week and a half for each one. It was a 6-month project, but at least I know that if this is the only children's book I do, it'll be something that I can get. That's a good-looking book. So, thanks.
Jeff, I just want to interrupt you. Brian Pulido just entered the room, ladies and gentlemen. Brian,
and as always.
Creator of Lady Death, probably the kingpin of independent comics could tell us more in 5 minutes than probably even Walt Leonard about independent comics. We're introducing everybody, Brian. We're going down. Next, we're going with Martin Piera. Martin, tell us about yourself.
I have to forgive you. My throat is shot. My voice is gone. My name is Martin Piero, publisher for Cosmic Times. These are our books. I am the publisher. That's kind of the role I chose. I went to a panel at MegaCon, maybe 07, and somebody up on the panel convinced me that being a comic publisher was a cool idea, and he's sitting next to me right now.
Dumbass.
I felt that now I hear him talking about being a comic publisher is a bad idea.
Yeah.
But no, I had an idea for a comic. I wanted to publish it. I couldn't find somebody to publish it, so I said, I'll just do it myself. That's what I did, and things just kind of snowballed from there. Bounced around the indie scene for a while, doing, I guess what you'd call self-publishing, just publishing my own stuff, then picked up a few guys, and last year, we finally cracked the egg and got into Diamond, and now we're a nationally distributed comic publisher, which... actually, it just means you lose more money faster.
Martin, let me interrupt. You
please do.
You forget to always mention that you were the one who wrote the comic book about Arianna Huffington.
Which I'm sure everybody owns.
Right, but yeah. You were featured in Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
Which was a great thing. I mean, it was really fantastic. Wall Street Journal, that's got to be a feather in your hat. Did it make you money?
It made me zero money, actually.
Okay. Yeah. He's still got the blurbs from the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, I do.
Actually, you're in like negative money, right?
Yeah, I am negative money, yeah. But I don't know. Do a Google search for me. You'll find all kinds of interesting things.
What's your big titles right now?
I'm sorry. See, I'm losing it. The big book we have, our graphic novel, Giant Robot Warrior Maintenance Crew. It's in your comic stores right now. Coming out next, the last Wednesday of the month, Metal Locust is going to be in your comic stores, the first issue of a 4-issue series, so we got all kinds of stuff going on. Bunch of new stuff on the horizon coming up, so watch the website, cosmictimes.net.
Juan Navarro from Creature, tell us about yourself, Juan.
My voice is even rougher than his.
My name is Juan Navarro. I'm the editor-in-chief of Creature Entertainment. We're a film and comic book studio out of Miami, Florida. We do mostly horror, crime, and science fiction. We kind of like fixed the genres and said we're going to fix on these. We're not going to move from here. We might expand maybe later on, but that's what we kind of concentrate on. I do such books as Ravenous, which just got nationally published, and we have some great numbers through Diamond. And this is the issue 1 variant, which I got. We just released it on our online store over the weekend, and we got over 100 orders waiting for us like back home to do. So it's kind of nuts. It's a great werewolf horror book that we're doing. And then we do other stuff like Tommy, which is a story about a little kid who has an imaginary friend and finds out his imaginary friend's a serial killer. That is issue 1, and I'm also the artist and writer on those series. And I do also Zombie Years, which is a post-apocalyptic zombie tale that takes place in Miami. It's like Walking Dead with way better weather. So that's the kind of stuff that we like looking at. Some of it's tongue-in-cheek, some of it's real horror. Most of the time we just look for stories. And I started, I went to Savannah College of Art and Design for sequential art. I went to a bunch of there. I had a chance to go to a painting school full-fledged in Kansas City and study painting. I was, you know, Scholastic Awards. I did all this stuff. And I was really well on my way to do fine arts. And I went into comics because I found out that was my original love. That's why I got into it. And because of that, when they said, hey, there's a school called SCAD, you can go study and do sequential art there, I went, oh shit, let's go. You know, I thought that was awesome, man. I went there. I ended up graduating from University of Florida, but since then I've been pursuing that, and that's been probably the last 20 years pursuing comics. And now, as an independent creator, I've had the most freedom and most fun doing it.
Juan, thank you so much. We're going to come back to you. Give him a big round of
applause. Oh, thank you.
We're going to come back to you because I want to talk about your successful Kickstarter program. I think a lot of people are going to talk about that in a moment, too. But next we'll go to Austin Janowski. Austin, tell us about you're an artist, obviously, but tell us about independent comics.
Hi, I'm Austin Janowski. I've been doing comic books since 1994. I cut my teeth in the independent scene with a small company called Allied Comics, which was actually, funny enough, local to where I lived. And we worked on a book called Cosmic Times.
What?
I know.
Boo!
Well, yeah. No, Cosmic Waves, that's what it was.
Thank you. Jesus.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been that long way. So, during that time, they said, well, do you have anything that you want to do yourself? I'm like, yeah, I got a really cool story. It's based on my D&D character. It's called Seventh Millennium. They go, well, yeah, we'll publish that. That'd be great. I'm like, cool. So I needed to find someone to help me, you know, pencil the story. And we put through Diamond and Capital. Back then, you had two main distributors, Diamond and Capital. And it went through them, and I had X amount ordered, and I printed X amount, and I made money on it, and I thought, well, this is great. This is easy, and that's kind of brought me down the independent path. Primarily, I'm a comic book inker professionally. I've worked for Marvel on X-Men and Iron Man. I've done some Batman stuff for DC. I've been lucky enough to do stuff for Image and a bunch of other companies. But my first love's always been the independent and putting out my own stories. Over the years, besides Seventh Millennium, I've put out a superhero book called Tan. I've put out a book called Stanley the Snowman. And then my most recent is a Christian-based book called Divine Retribution, which actually I had a preview MegaCon exclusive thing, and it just sold out, which was amazing. So I'm very thankful for that. Even though I've worked in mainstream and done all that sort of stuff, I think the independent scene is really the way to go. You have the most creativity. You have the ability to tell the story the way you want to, how you want to, and touch the audiences that you would like to without really having the constriction of the corporate that is Marvel and DC nowadays. So that's what I'm doing.
Hi guys, my name is Martin Dunn. I am busy all the time. I am the art director for Hashtag Comics, which is a brand new indie studio out of West Virginia. I also am the editor-in-chief of Con Artist Entertainment, or CA Studios now, as we call it, out of Tampa. I write, I draw, I do all that stuff. I've only been doing this for about 5 years, thanks to Juan Navarro, who he doesn't like to take credit, but he's the one that inspired me to do this. I've worked for IDW Publishing, currently working on some stuff for Image, and been working to get this book done for like the last 4 years, and then several others. That's pretty much it. Podcasts, webcasts, panels, things like that. So.
Martin, throw out some of the titles. You got a title coming out right now.
Yeah, I'm working on a book called Carpe Noctem with artist Derek Fish and colorist studio Challenging Studios for Hashtag. It's in Diamond. You can go to your local comic shop and ask for it. It's coming now May 27th. Yes, I got a nod. Yes, May 27th.
Is it for children?
No, it's a mature audience book, definitely. It's supernatural, crazy. Definitely, like, one of the reviewers, Bleeding Cool Reviewers, called it the kitchen sink of monster books. So it literally has anything and everything you could ever want, from Cthulhu, Lovecraftian, anything to, like, how was it put to me? We're not allowed to legally say it's Tolkien archetypes, but there's, like, goblins and trolls and stuff in it, too. But it's crazy. It takes place in Las Vegas. It's about an underworld and elder gods and vampires and werewolves and goblins and trolls and craziness. And it's dark. In my opinion, they say it's a horror. I think it's more dark comedy with, you know, horror elements, but it's fun, man. It's just been a lot of fun, a lot of work. Everything we do is a lot of work, I think. That's pretty much it. Like, I mean, my biggest projects lately have just been, I've not done a lot of creative in the last few months. I've been working a lot in the backside of things, helping Hashtag get their stuff built up for Diamond, which has been exhausting and creatively draining in its own way. So.
Fantastic. Let's give Martin a big round of applause. And while we're talking, I do want to recognize Brian Polito. Brian, for God's sake, we have you here, we have your mind. Tell us about independent comics. Take us through the history. Obviously, Lady Death, Evil Ernie, everything that's going on with you is just amazing.
Well, thank you. I'll give you my resume. My name is Brian Polito. I've been making comic books independently for 24 years now. I've written over 330 comics. I've published or written or created several thousand projects. I've been lucky enough to publish things including Insane Clown Posse Comics, World Wrestling Entertainment Comics, comics for Megadeth, and my own comics, probably most known for Lady Death, Evil Ernie, and the entire Chaos Comics universe. Recently, what was totally fun was I got to sue Avatar Press and grind them into the ground and settle and take full ownership back of my flagship character, Lady Death.
There you go.
Why wasn't that covered in bleeding cool? Fascinating. It was very interesting, guys, and it's a bit of a tangent, but it was the most exhilarating experience. At the end of the day, when I cut my final check to my lawyer, I shook his hand and I said, "This is the best money I've spent in the last decade." And he looked at me quizzically and said, and Jeff will probably appreciate this, that's the first time he had ever heard that from a client. So that was very exhilarating, and right after that, taking full control of the character, I relaunched her through a Kickstarter, something I wanted to do for so long. And how we approached the Kickstarter was we actually got everything done before the Kickstarter except for pressing the button on printing, and then upon it being funded, we literally pressed the button on printing. So we'll be delivering this new Lady Death chapter in the next 30 days, and that is a little bit of what's been going on for me. All very, very fun, and as you can imagine, occasionally challenging, but all in all, exhilarating.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Okay, that's just something I was wondering. So I still see that Avatar has Bloody Death Comics coming out.
Yes, so part of our settlement, what I can speak about, is they get one last nip at the trough. So Lady Death Apocalypse will be their final...
Okay, I was just curious about that.
You're welcome to ask anything, and anything that I can answer, I can. So that's theirs. And Avatar is a very loyal company, so the guy who was writing Lady Death, Mike Wolfer, was summarily dismissed and was replaced for this last series. So nothing but friendship and loyalty out of that company.
You know, whenever we have this...
In my opinion...
Uh-oh. Go for
no,
it.
No, Brian, and that, in my opinion...
Thank you. In my opinion, I appreciate that.
Good job.
Thank you. No, you're right. Thank you, man. You
know, that'll be $1.
What I was going to say, whenever we have this panel, you know, we have a lot of out here who want to get in. They want to do what you're doing, you know, and they want to know how to get started. Brian, tell us how you got started.
Oh my gosh, we're going back to a different time. I'll try to be quick. I actually just love comics, still do. And I actually put an ad in a thing called Comic Buyer's Guide for an artist. And I tried out 70 artists. And in my mind, I had two criteria, which was the quality of the work and then that person's professionalism. And after 70 artists, I gave up, honestly. And then about a week later, I got a submission from a fellow named Stephen Hughes. And we met, and it, you know, became two-thirds of the Mod Squad, and we were off to the races. But, you know, that sentence took me 1 minute to tell you, but the whole process for me took several years of trial and error. And, however, once I got together with Hughes, we teamed up, and we did what at the time was called packaging our book. So we put together a synopsis, a series of pages, and lettered pages as well, and shopped them around to publishers of the time. And we took the best of all the worst deals that we were offered that allowed us to retain ownership. And it's from there we got published by Malibu Press, which was a blast. And through luck of the Irish, pardon me?
I love Malibu's.
Yeah, it was fun. Through luck of the Irish, Evil Ernie was the first book, and it caught on. So that was a very dated experience of how it worked for me. I don't know how it works these days, but I think the principles are probably applicable. Where maybe if you're a writer, you find an artist. If you're an artist, you find a writer. You get your stuff seen. One takeaway, and then I'll shut up, is early on, prior to Evil Ernie, I had a sit-down meeting with the editor at Marvel at the time, and I had a written proposal for a post-apocalyptic patriotic hero series, just in writing noir. And that person said, he considered me a person that he knew, and he had a submission pile of people he knew, and he had a submission pile of people he did not know. And early on in the conversation, he put my submission in the pile of people he knew. During the two-hour conversation with him, that submission pile of people he knew went up about another eighth. And my takeaway, and at the end of the conversation, we thanked each other, it was great. My takeaway from that was that he was overwhelmed, this really wasn't part of his job, he meant well, but it would never get read, and it never got read. So hence, I decided to take up the mantelpiece myself, package it, so to speak, get an artist, and do it on my own. And have a look back.
Martin, you mentioned Juan was a role model for you.
Can we get off that subject?
Jeez. How did you?
I don't want to get blamed for that.
Actually, it's funny. I out of high school, my art teacher was I was in love with One Eye Comics is my whole thing. Actually, Chaos Comics, stuff like that. I was in love with indie comics, kind of something material. Different. And I got to meet Michael Turner, like right as he was doing like Witchblade, I think it was, or something like that. And my art teacher had set that up. And then he went through some things, and he got me an internship at CrossGen, but I ended up chasing a woman across the country and having kids with her and marrying her and crazy stuff. So I kind of got out of comics for like 10 years. A buddy of mine was like, dude, you should make comics, you should get back into comics, da da da. And I used to always doodle and write and stuff like that, but I didn't really like, pursue it. So I was working in the music industry and stuff, and we came to MegaCon. I don't remember what year it was exactly, but we met Creature Entertainment. Juan had some Zombie Ears books up there, and I'm looking through them, and I bought one. And I was like, I just asked him some questions. I was like, how did you, you just do yourself? Because I had no idea. Like, I mean, even like interning at CrossGen, I really didn't put together how you could just do it yourself. For some reason, I always had like this block, like, oh, I got to have a publisher. I have to have someone to take my pictures on paper and put it on like on more paper. I don't know why that is so complicated when you really think about it, because it's really not. But that's what it was. And Juan's like, explain everything. And he's giving me all this information. And the funny fact is I talked to like maybe four or five other indie publishers, even some bigger publishers before that weekend, and just asked questions. And they all gave me the same runaround, like, oh, it's just a process, and, whatever. And he was, like, the only guy that sat there and spent a lot of time doing it. And, I mean, I think that, part of me wants to know that Juan was like, well, this guy's buying my books, so I'm going to talk to him and answer his questions. But, maybe he was wanting to inspire somebody. Do what? I actually own, I buy a lot of Creature stuff.
I love to give information to people, but I hate it when they're just taking all your time and they're not buying anything. So
no, I think I bought every, I think I bought,
these guys buy their books is what I'm talking
I believe
about.
I bought the first volume of Zombie Years, and I forget what else you guys had to
take. I think it was like the first issues.
Yeah,
I did that. It was back then, that was before issue 5.
Yeah, I had that, and then I had, I bought like some art, he had some art that I bought there, like a post, I think it was, the first you guys might have had
the famous Coppertone ad?
Yeah. I think that might have been it. I got that. And so I got that stuff. I went home and I just started kind of doing some research. And I credit a lot of it to Juan for that. And then honestly, a lot of people, especially guys up here, know, will be shocked. I'm not getting into it. It's stupid. But a guy named Gene Hoyle helped me out a lot with some information and put me on the right path to figure out some publishing and put me in contact with Martin Piero, who gave me some more information. And I just kind of, that's kind of how it started really for me, was just gathering the right information. And that's why now for me, when people come to me and say, like, everyone's always like, I don't want to bother you, I don't know, you probably want to help me, I get Twitter, like people on Twitter and Facebook all the time, I give them every information I can. I tell you where I get my stuff printed, I tell you where I go, I tell you that, there's tutorials on YouTube. You don't have to go and pay someone to do this, you can learn it yourself if you have the time and the effort and the patience. But yeah, like, I mean, that's pretty much my story for that. So
fantastic. Austin, how did you get the bug, so to speak?
What, for comics?
Yeah.
No, AIDS.
What? Shut up.
We are in a comic panel.
You see how everyone else here is really kind of the whole serious, I'm super cool comic book person. I'm like, the comic relief. It's okay. I don't mind it. Don't mind it at all. I hate you forever. Okay. So, I collected comic books since I was 14. And I had a buddy of mine, Dave, who was like disgustingly talented, like the people who didn't really have to try, just one of those people who just like could do it. And we are going to the show in Syracuse called the Make-A-Wish Show. And I was a big ElfQuest fan. Does anyone know who ElfQuest is? Wendy Richepini? Okay. That defined my whole high school life, basically. Smoking pot, reading ElfQuest. That was basically me, honestly.
In your opinion?
In my opinion. Yes, thank you very much.
That's another dollar.
So
it doesn't come for free.
I knew Bart Sears because he lived in Syracuse, and he just started working on Justice League Europe. I wanted a Power Girl sketch. I wanted boobs, right? So he's like, well, let's just bring some stuff, and we'll get that done. I'm like, cool. So I have I got my drawing stuff, but I had more of my inking stuff because he could draw, and I did inking. I had no idea what it was. So I'm waiting in line, I go and I finally get my sketch, and literally I do this. I'm looking down, it's a headshot. I'm looking at this, I'm looking at him, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at him. And he looks up and he's like, what? And I said, really? Nothing? He's like, you know how many things I've done? I'm like, and that's a bad thing? So he noted me holding some samples. He's like, what, are you an artist or something? I'm like, you know, you get all tongue-tied and took my stuff. And I remember he looked at it, then he stopped, and he looked at it again. Now, Graham Nolan was sitting next to him. He was working on Hawkworld. Then Tom Lyle, who at the time was working on Robin, he looked at it. Then Wendy Richard Pina looked at it, and then Tom Vincent, who was colorist for Silver Surfer Lady, and it just got passed right down the table. So they wrote some stuff down, and they said, we think if you work on this, 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 and this, you have a shot, because it looks like you have some talent. You know, come back next year, and let's see what you got. So I'm like, woo! Go
so that
home.
That didn't hurt your feelings that they were critical?
They weren't really that critical. They were just very nice, and they just wrote some things down, and I was like, woo, this is great. So I'm going to be a comic book artist, and Mom and Dad said, that's great. You can have a backup plan. So I got my degree in design, so I could, you know, in case things didn't work out. So I went back next year, and I got shredded. And I got shredded again, because I kept showing my stuff around, because this was before the internet and computers and everything. You actually physically had to meet someone and say, hi, how are you? I have my stuff. Love you to take a look. Let me know what you think, and then take your beatings. Or constructive criticism, as they call it. And after a while, things got more positive than negative, until finally I was able to actually get offered a job inking. I enjoyed inking more than penciling, because I asked myself, do I want to work on great characters, or do I want to work with great characters and great artists, great pencilers? And I said, I want to be an inker. Brush inking, that sort of thing. And that kind of got me into, well, you know, this is some cool stories, you know, working with Allied and these other independents that you really have outside the box. Teenage Mutant Turtles, all them. The indie scene back in the early 90s was really just blowing up. This was before Image really kind of took off. And I said, I want to try to do that. You know, I've got a story. I think I can maybe try to do something like that, you know. So I found people that they like my inking and I like your penciling. That's really cool. Hey, should we do a book? Yeah, that's great. We'll just go do whatever, and then that's how the first issue kind of came out.
So, you know, Austin, that is a neat point, and I wanted to go to Juan to ask him about this, too, because you're the art director for Creature. A lot of times people are going to come to you and show you their art. I know you're a very positive person.
How do you destroy them?
Well, you know, I know you don't destroy
people. Neil Adams.
What do you do? Like
the thing is this, there's two ways of going about it. Look, if you're doing business and this is somebody that you already have worked with before and it's just a professional thing, you yay or nay it and you go on. And they can do it. And as some people have said, I've kind of evangelized and I want to help people in comics. I would think everybody here, you guys should go and make them no matter what. You know, if there's something you really want to do, go make it. Your first comic's going to suck. It's just going to be part of the process. But because of that, I try to always help, and it's a different side of critiquing and trying to help somebody improve something. If somebody tells you this doesn't work, hey, your anatomy's bad, or this panel's not working, or something like that, that's not them attacking you. That's just them trying to help you make it better.
It's constructive criticism.
Yeah, because if you're reading a comic and somebody drew the arm kind of weird, and it's like, meh, you know, like all like this, it's going to take you out of it for a second. You're suddenly going to stop reading it and be like, why is that arm... That guy's arm's all messed up.
But then you look up and the guy's like, it's my book.
Oh, well, then that would be kind of cool.
How many people in the audience are artists? How many people are artists?
And
that's fantastic.
Also, I would dare say, because I've done this, I've done this before, but how many of you are writers? How many of you are artists? All right, art writers talk to the artists, artists talk to the writers. Go make a comic book.
Later.
He's a matchmaker.
We're doing, real quick, just so if Terry doesn't mind, this afternoon, I think across the way, another panel room, me and Derek Fish and a couple people are going to host. It was a joke. Me and Juan made this joke at a panel we were on last year at MegaCon. We were going to do comic creator speed dating. So if you're a writer and an artist, come in. We're going to pair you up, and the writers are going to give the artists a one-minute elevator pitch. And if you guys like it, you guys can leave together. And if you don't, then you stay and keep
And whatever going. Happens afterwards.
That's up to you guys.
But just use protection.
It was just a joke, and we'll answer questions on how to get your comics published and how to self-publish and stuff like that. But it was really just a joke. And
it's a great idea. No, it's a great idea. And of course, to build your network, it sounds like a fantastic thing.
Make that happen.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, well, it's this afternoon, like 4:10. So,
what happens in MegaCon stays in MegaCon.
Exactly. But I wanted to add something Juan said. It was actually, there was a friend of mine had gotten his portfolio reviewed by Neil Adams, and everyone up here knows Neil Adams is a brutal portfolio reviewer. But my friend had tried to use, he made the worst mistake ever, and he told Neil Adams insulted his anatomy, And Neil Adams doesn't tell you that your anatomy is bad. He insults your anatomy, your personal anatomy. And he basically said it, and my friend defended his art, which he shouldn't have done, and he said, well, I like to try to think that I have like a more Mike Mignola style. And Neil Adams flipped that and was like, Mike Mignola knows how to draw anatomy. Like, stylization doesn't count for anatomy. Like, your anatomy has to be good, and that's what one thing Juan was saying. It's like, sometimes people will defend bad anatomy based on, well, it's my style, and you're...
No, and it even works out for us as a publisher. One of the things that I've done is that I've luckily have some people like Najmi Marquez and some... We brought them in, and they're very young, they're just starting out, and we try to help them out, build their stuff. You know, they work around us. Like, we're in a hotel room, and Jose Varese is drawing, Patrick Riley, you know, Jeff DeCow, we're all artists, we're there talking, and he gets to see how we're doing things and how we talk, and all the little things that have to happen that you'll be around it, and his work is building up. And it's great because then I get to find the guy, it's cheap labor, and when they leave me and become so successful like Jeff DeCow did, you know, later on when he left the company, I mean, you know, he's still part of it, but doing stuff for Marvel, you know, you get to help that and you grow that, and that's part of it.
As an artist too, with that one, like, I'll say, like, surrounding yourself with artists that are, you know, also creating around you is also really good for your art. Like, I dabbled in art for a while, mostly wrote, but I started to hang out with Javier Lugo and Derek Fish on like a weekly basis, us just getting together and drawing and hanging out and working
on
comics together.
It's really good to have a good culture of creativity around you, and you build that culture around you. Speaking of good culture of creativity, you also have to be able to pick it out and know that something's good.
Right.
You have to have like a palette.
It has to have a seed to it. Yeah.
You're going to be in trouble. You might be hanging around people and you've got a bad palate. Two people who have good palates here are Jeff Kaufman and Mark Piera.
Yes.
How do you guys pull talent? I mean, do you guys search the artist out, or do the artist search you out?
Oh, for real.
No gag reflex.
You want me to lie? Okay.
Oh, jeez.
Go ahead. You lie.
Most of the talent I've worked with, pretty much I met at MegaCon or shows in Orlando. My creative director, Zach, came up to me at the old FX show, the last one that was here, and just said, I really want to work, man. Just whatever you got, I want to do it. And, you know, his work was good, but his attitude was great. It was, I just want to work. So somebody please give me some work. So I did. And we've been together since 2009. And he helps me out with everything we do. Like I say, he's my creative director.
You just met him at MegaCon?
It was FX, but you know, same.
Okay.
And he came up to the booth and he said, I just want some work. If you have some work, I'll take it. And my buddy Mike Wagoner, who's at my booth right now, same thing. It was at a mixer or something. We went to some bar before MegaCon a couple years ago, and he was there. I met him, and we hit it off great. That's kind of the thing too.
If you're gonna, ever.
Sorry, what was that? The
nicest guy ever.
Okay. You know, not so much with the deadlines, but the nicest guy ever. But again, that's part of it too. If you're a writer or even a publisher or an editor, you have to have a decent relationship with your talent. I know I sometimes yell at him, like, you need to get your talent in line, yell at him, beat him. And at the end of the day, you can't. Because like he pointed out just the other day, if I was just pouring truckloads of money in his front lawn, yeah, I have a right to yell at him and kind of force him to hit his deadlines. But I'm not. So it's kind of a give and take relationship, especially when it's a writer-artist partnership. It's a partnership more so than it is like an employee-employer situation.
And it's a lot of communication.
You kind of learn through failure. And the good thing is about your asking us questions is, you know, you get to learn through some of our failures. I disagree with the concept that you do not set your expectations with the people you work with. I think you're basically setting yourself up for pain. I've done it before. I made artists beforehand, before they did the work. You just have to follow through. You say, okay, if you want to be, if I hire you or I work with you, these are my expectations. I will pay you every 10 pages once it's in the server. I will do these certain things. You will deliver. This is our schedule. The minute you realize this guy can't handle the schedule, you've got to move on because, you know, you don't have time for this. There are deadlines in comic books, and nothing is worse for a lot of you, and I know some of you are readers, and I'm a reader, when that book doesn't come out, when that book doesn't get to you, you go, wait, oh, this guy's a genius, and I'm not going to piss on anybody because I don't do that. But, you know, how pissed off are you when issue 3 never comes out, or issue 4 never comes out, or it takes 6 months to read the damn thing, and you're pulling your hair out, and you're a fan, when that book finally gets there, you're going to be pissed off. You're not going to appreciate it as much. So when you hire somebody or decide to work with them, there was, what was that, Raised in Arizona? When I didn't have crawfish, I ate sand. You ate sand, I ate sand. What I'm saying is that sometimes you don't have the money to be able to pay somebody as professional as you would like. So you are sometimes stuck with the bottom of the barrel. But if you are not stuck, then be a professional. Get a contract. When you work with somebody, have a contract. Define what their roles are. If you're splitting rights, make it very clear what rights you're splitting. Yep. If you need a backup in case he doesn't finish it and that he loses his rights, make sure that's in, because you don't want to be arguing 10 years later or 15 years or even a month later about who has control over this because you were too lazy to go on the internet and download a basic contract. Right. And this isn't me speaking as an attorney. This is me speaking as a publisher who had to actually go back and force an artist to give away all his rights because he failed, he treated me like crap, and he owed me an ass load of money. And you don't want to be in that position, because the hardest thing about these things is, imagine when you finally get this into your hands and it's yours and you love it and it now represents something ugly to you. I hate that artist. I hated the relationship. I hated everything. And when I look at it, I don't look at my creativity. I don't look at all the great things that made me want to do this. It reminds me of raw failure and I want to vomit when I see it. Now, I'm fortunate that that's not the case with this book. I had Kevin West, I had Mark McKenna, I had Tom Cho, and I had a great Marvel DC team put together a book that even if my writing sucked, you didn't care. You liked the artwork. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important to be a professional. Be a professional. You want to do this? Mm-hmm. This isn't a hobby.
Speaking of professional, Brian.
I would like to chime in on Jeff's point, which I agree to, and it speaks to a different topic. It sounds kind of peculiar, but it speaks to the hiring process. And that's something I felt that I learned way back in the day and continue to watch for. So what I mean by this is, here's my criteria for hiring a comic book artist. It's, is the work compelling and exciting, fun storytelling? So that quality, that it's great, that's a given. And the second quality is professionalism. So if the person promises X, do they deliver X or Y? Now, sometimes when you're on the line, you don't want to learn that. So we actually have a pretty rigorous hiring process where we, by design, put a couple of hoops there so we can see if this person will fulfill on the promise. Because there's nothing more irritating than getting halfway into a book and someone drops off the face of the earth or doesn't have communication. So our hiring process diagnoses a person's ability to communicate change, to fulfill on a given promise, or not. And to make comic books very easy for everyone involved, our deadline, this might sound too simple, but our deadlines for everything is on Monday. So let's say an artist is hired to do 3 pages a week, the delivery date is Monday. It doesn't matter. 4, Monday. 5, Monday. Whatever it is. Monday comes and goes, that's a problem. And now there's no, this hasn't been perfected, you know, but recently this seems to really, really work. Keeping it simple, Monday deadline, keeping the promise, and you know, like Jeff, you know, the reward is payment and on time, and the consequence is every day you're late, I'm late, etc. So food for thought.
You know, when I was just starting out, and I dreamed like all of you, I wanted to make a comic book, and I had this, you know, creative energy. I wanted to do it. I really wanted to do it. I really didn't know a lot how to do it, and I wanted to get an artist involved. I'm a terrible artist, but I have a lot of imagination. And I went around to artists, and I went on the internet, and I looked at their art. I said, man, I'd love to get you to do a project with me, and I tried to influence them, write an influential email, you know, that sounded like I knew what I was doing. But nobody really wanted to do it. They didn't believe in me. They didn't, you know, they didn't really believe that I had what it took, or, you know, they, for some reason or another, I couldn't seem to get people interested. So I kept at it, until I finally found some artists who were willing to help me. And I went for people who had, I felt like I had a good palette for good art. And I went to people and I said, I know I can't afford to pay you what you're worth, but I'm hoping that you would be willing to do something with me, a short story with me, so that we could get this project going. And they finally decided that they would. Jeff, you gotta go to the bathroom?
Keep going.
Terrible. Everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So
be pissed off, Jeff.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Maybe you wanted a job. I don't know. But anyway, so I can't afford to pay you what you're worth. And some people understood that. And I was able to get them, and I was able to get a first issue done. And my first issue of Students the Unusual got picked up by Diamond, and I got distribution by Diamond. And I didn't realize what a great thing and lucky thing that was at the time, because I'd never done this. But once that happened, and I went to MegaCon the first time, then I had artists like you wouldn't believe coming up to me, hey, I'd love to work with you. Hey, I'd love to work with you. Hey, I'd love to work with you. So once the train gets going, it gets a lot easier, and you get a lot of talented people.
Also, with that in mind, as people who want to be artists, if you get on a project and you're late, the book's never coming out, or you're in these things, one of the things you realize is like finishing what you start, especially in this industry, is really important, because when you have that book, that is your resume. You can show me pages all day. I'm serious. If you can send me portfolios. I just did a portfolio review for the new artist for Joshua Black from Into the Second Arc, and I looked at over 200 submissions, and everything I looked for was one of my things was send me, if you've ever been published, if you've ever done anything, send me what you've worked on. Show me, or at least tell me so I can go buy it or whatever, if you've been published before. And the reason that is because if you can finish a project, if you can finish a 3-issue, 6-issue miniseries, and I know that you can finish my book. And the reason that is I'm not going to down anybody. I've gotten yelled at by Jeff in the past on panels for downing somebody. But the thing is that I've worked with several artists on Joshua Black. Some of them are friends that have come in and helped me at the last minute, because I got with artists that they were good for 2 issues. They were great for 2 issues. But then I'd get 5 pages, and then I didn't hear from them for a month, 2 months. You know, just nothing. And then you have to find someone else, because, like, you know, like Brian was saying, like, you're now that you're late, we're late. And the problem is that, especially for pencilers, it's like when you are a penciler, you have to remember that you may meet your deadline on Monday, and if that Monday deadline is for the full page to be done, inked, colored, and lettered, then everyone else is late. The entire creative team. There's a lot of people don't realize when they get into this that there is a creative team usually on comics. You have a penciler, you have an inker, you have a colorist, you have a letterer, and you know, there's an editor. Like, you have those things. And a printer, and a printer. And especially, and I can also just, it's random, but just putting out there as people are getting into this, never ever set your deadlines around conventions, because you will hate your life. But that's besides the point.
Terry, real quick. There are people here who want to get into this industry.
Yes.
And we can talk about all of our personal accomplishments and everything else like that. What I would like to be able to do is that you came here for us to help you learn how to do this. And we could tell our own stories and our own, we got shot in the head, and you know, but then again, I shot him in the nuts, so we were equal. But what I noticed was about panels, which Terry, the first panel he saw was Terry put me on a panel, and the guy next to me was, I got into comics in 1982, and it was good, it was fantastic, and you know, go fuck yourself. And I slammed my head down on the fucking table, because I was so bored, and I sat up, and I looked down, and people actually thought it was funny. And I said, wow, you know, all I gotta do is act like a complete asshole, and people will not walk out of my panel.
Well, you had a booger hanging out of your nose.
Well, I put it there.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is now is, you came here for something, so I wanna make sure you get it. So,
we can take questions.
Yeah, what I'd like to be able to do is people to ask us how they really want to do this, so that we don't, so we get 20 minutes and we'll shotgun it back at them. I don't have to answer, but another, you know, just how.
Go.
Speak up, sir.
Where do you search for a publisher? Yeah.
Speak from your chest, son. Like, project.
He's got a writer and an artist, but he's looking for a publisher.
Do you have a completed project?
Is it something that's done? Do you have, like, pages? Do you have an issue one done?
They
are
in
copyright.
Stop with that.
Well, hold on. Is the art done? Beyond that, I've been learning a lot about pitching from guys like, Jim Zub has been, like, ridiculous, but that's a name drop, but he has been giving me a ton of information on pitching.
Jesus.
And I'm just asking curiously, like, do you do you have at least 5 pages of full art done? That's pencils, inks, colors, letters, everything done. Okay, if you get all of that done, package it up, and you can go to Image, you can go to Dark Horse, you can go to IDW, you can go to Ani now. I think, didn't Creature just open up submissions?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
But we want completed projects. Look, the thing is that unbelievably, a lot of times if you're dealing with an editor and art director, most of the time they're incredibly stupid and unimaginary. So you have to treat it like that. Come to them with a completed project so they can see it and say, oh, cool, this is something like this. Oh, this looks a lot like Lady Death. Let's print this.
Do it. Then I'm gonna hire Jeff.
and so that they can understand the concept, so it's more completed. We make the joke, me and him.
Hey, I have an idea for a story. I have characters worked out.
Yeah, I have characters. I have it copyrighted. We've heard it before. Have a project completed.
No, he's like Superman, but not.
Sometimes if you have a solid 5 pages,
and it tells
part of the story, and enough that we know where it's going, you can show it to a publisher.
Now
what they're hoping for, some other companies who I don't want to mention because they haven't announced it yet, but they're not going to solicit or put anything until it's in the can. Yeah. So the suggestion is get your best five pages that really tell what the story's about, not just a bunch of talking heads, because there's going to have to be a scene where somebody gets kicked in the face or something, but I mean something to excite somebody to go, yeah, I want to see more of this.
Right. Have an ending. Don't tell me like, well, you know, I have this thing issues. And it's kind of going. Have an ending. Pretty much, you got to tell me in 3 paragraphs everything that happened, and I better go, wow, cool, I want to see this happen.
You want a story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a story that you're publishing.
Yeah, but be realistic. Don't have like, this is my complex epic. It's 500 issues. It's going to be great. It's going to run for the next 13 years.
Yeah, we don't want to see, you know, 100 years of solitude. You know, like just.
Point this comic out to you. It's not published by me. It's published by a friend of mine called Indie Comics Magazine. If you put together an 8-page completed story and send it to him for a submission, he, most of the time, if it's good, he's going to print it. And this is distributed by Diamond. And now you've got a professional product out there, and he can take it to Martin Dunn, and he'll say,
yeah,
you have a professional product out. It's just an 8-pager. It's not a full comic, you know. So if you can tell a short story, it's sort of like filmmaking. If you can tell a great story in a short story, then you can tell a great story.
It's funny you say that, because if you have the capability of doing it, if you can make your pitch into a trailer of what the series is about, a 5-page trailer, if you will, like a movie trailer, like this is all the beats. If you can do that in 5 pages, that's a good pitch. Like that's something, because I mean it's not stuff you would end up maybe using in the final book, but it is something to pitch to somebody. And a good example of that, if you just go get like the anniversary edition of The Walking Dead, you see Robert Kirkman's original pitch with Tony Moore, it's nothing at all what appeared in the comic. But it is a solid pitch. It's like watching a movie trailer. It's like, oh, it's the beats of what happened. And that's the best advice I can give you for pitching.
I'd also say it's fair to, if you could orate it as well, that it makes it for a compelling thing. So, for example, if you're having a conversation over a cocktail here at the comic book convention and you happen to come upon a publisher and you're talking about your project, if you could express it in 2 or 3 sentences in a compelling manner, you're that much further ahead, because it speaks not only to that it's a concise project, but that you have it sorted out, as opposed to if it takes you 10 minutes to explain it, it tends to indicate a lot of things aren't sorted out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it too much, don't practice it all the time, but it does help sometimes when I've pitched stuff to other people. Sometimes even if it's like, it's like RoboCop meets Winnie the Pooh. If it works, it works, and just pitch that.
And that's an
elevator
pitch.
If it gives them a clearer picture.
And that's what they call an elevator pitch. What he just did there is technically.
Oh, but that of this meets that is really bad form. And there's a lot of people that look at you like an idiot for doing it, but sometimes you're dealing with an idiot, so do it.
You might have noticed when he was talking about Tommy, I was mouthing the, it's a...
He's heard it enough times.
A million times. Next question.
Terry's the one.
What's the best way to go about putting together a team when you're just starting?
Right now, you're in a room full of artists and writers. Talk to them, say what's up, what's going on, give a card, you're at a con, go around the artist alley, talk to different people. Say, hey, you know, if you like what somebody's doing, you know, talk them up. You know, if you're a writer, convince an artist to be putting that time towards it. You know, there's 2 ways of convincing an artist, either the idea or that's going to be the convincing thing.
Right here. And I've been trying to find an artist elsewhere, but I don't know where to look.
Digitalwebbing.com.
Right in here. Well, you're right in
here. Digitalwebbing.com. Here in the MegaCon.
DeviantArt forums. Yeah. This Pencil Jack.
Facebook groups like crazy. There's so many Facebook groups.
Yeah. Here's my trick. I shouldn't tell this because this is good for everybody. But Boom has a great Facebook submission.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
And I checked that. So, I don't know, /Boom submission, whatever. People are always posting.
Yeah.
And I want to even add this because I wanted to say it before. Within the cons, when you do them, we all talk. We're always talking.
Yeah.
And Marno come up to me and say, hey, man, I found this anchor. I need a colorist. We're always talking. So if there's so-and-so is on there and out there and they're working out and it's really good, by the other side of it, if they're not working out, there's a problem.
So time out. Let me ask you a question. Okay. What did he just tell you to look at? Name those things. What are some of the...
He said DeviantArt. I've done that.
Okay.
The one website...
Go ahead.
Digital web.
Hang on.
I went to several forums, posted several things.
You should be writing this down, by the way.
But the problem is...
There's no problem.
The problem is, when I find people, either A, their art isn't what I'm looking for.
Okay.
And the art that is, like, I do want...
May I have permission to be rigorous?
What's way too much money?
What's way too much money?
Can I have permission to be rigorous with you for a minute?
Go ahead.
All right.
Treat him as a hostile witness, goddammit.
Exactly. Here's the thing.
Sorry for the religious people.
I am sorry. It's not easy. You have to play numbers. I cast a new comic book project, an 88-page OGN, and it took me 7 months. I don't even know how many people I looked. And it's not easy. And I get it, and I'm sympathetic, but I think you got to focus on the solution, not the problem, not the I can't, but the I can. I'm just sorry.
Well, it's going to happen, too, that you can get people that are great artists, but they suck at deadlines,
right,
or they suck at writing an email, you know.
If I was trying to submit to one of your publishing things, do you guys look more at the story or the art?
Everything.
It's a complete package.
Yeah.
The complete idea.
All right, so Image Comics, right? If you submit to Image Comics right now your 3 issues, and they say, we want this, this is great, and you're like, yeah, but the artist is AWOL, they'll say, no, we don't want it.
Right.
They want, there's two things, there's two factors in pitching that they look at. The writer and the penciler have to always be attached. 9 out of 10 times, unless you are someone who has previously been published or established. That's just something that they look at immediately. If you look at the submission guidelines and read them and pay attention to all of them, because a lot of people are like, oh my God, there's so much to read. Read everything. Jeff will tell you that. He's a lawyer. Read everything. Like, you need to read everything because that's in the submission guidelines. But as for, you know, the one thing you were saying was, you know, they asked for too much. What exactly is too much? I mean, what is your budget? You need to, that's something I learned real quick when just doing the Joshua Black stuff. I put up the thing and I was like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then I didn't put what I was going to ask. Now I'm just like, all right, look, this is what I'm going to pay. This is what I can offer. And then you don't get the people who hit you up and go, look at this awesome thing. And then you're like, oh yeah, I want you. And they're like, all right, $250 a page. And you're like, I don't even make that much. Like, what are you doing? Like,
It takes persistence and fortitude. You got to blast ahead.
Yeah.
It's a numbers game. It's not easy. So just, you got to be... You know, look, you blink your eyes, it could be 2 years from now, so you just got to get really unreasonable and rigorous with yourself.
Project.
Find another hobby. No, seriously, like for me, I do this professionally now. Like all I do, I work for like hashtag professionally. Like they pay my bills and I get to the point now because I'm doing it all the time. It's my job. It's my day job. It's become a day job. I find other things to do. I write music, play guitar, I play video games, I hang out with my kids. I find something else to do.
Or, but hold on. Now, wait a second. If you're doing it professionally, you get blocked. Like, let's say you work at McDonald's and you're not blocked on flipping burgers. You can't. It's your job.
You just keep going.
Yeah. You work around it. Like, I mean, as an artist, that sometimes you just scribble. If you're going to sit there, you'll just do thumbnails, and you never know what ideas come out. Same thing with writing. Sit down in front of a computer.
Your block can last 3 weeks. Like, no, that'll get you fired. But, like, if you have a block, I'm talking like a block. Like, if I hit a spot, yeah, I'll take a break. Like, that's what I meant. Like, I didn't mean, like, yeah, take 3 weeks off. Yeah.
Or you can smoke a lot of weed. That helps, too.
Okay. No.
In your opinion.
Some of us are drug-free here.
Someone just made Jeff Kaufman another dollar.
Just stand up.
I'd like to demystify the block for you. You know, I've lived this too for 24 years. And it really, usually what that means is you just, at the moment, don't have something to say. So one of the things that I recommend is go to the library. You know, maybe, like a lot of these guys are saying, kind of switch the script a little bit, kind of loosen yourself up a little bit, and maybe go back and find really what you have to say. And you'd be surprised. The human mind can't put up, it can't deal with emptiness. So it's going to fill in with something, but...
Yes, sir.
I got a question. You guys on the specific Martin Piero and one Mark.
2011 when I first met you guys.
Okay.
All right.
And they probably have the best structured indie publishing houses in all of Florida.
So you'd ask why we haven't merged together yet, right?
How much did y'all pay him?
I was like, wait, I'm looking at Marno. Is this a plan?
Better than Big City and better than hashtags? Is that what you're saying?
Well, hashtag's not Florida, so.
Tampa, oh, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I own a coffee shop. I ordered both these guys' books. I think they're both in Diamond now.
Yes, we are. Diamond, right next to each other.
They are growing faster than any other indie publisher I've ever seen. And they
you, sir, are a genius.
They totally
they end up marketing.
I'm like, what do I owe this guy?
Yeah.
Serious question. One thing about getting your book out there, whether it sucks or it's best, because Marvel and DC do it all the time. They put out trash every Wednesday. Every Wednesday there's trash coming out. Right? I mean, there are some great books, but a lot of them are
over.
Marketing your book is key. Marketing sells books. How do you guys market? Because you do it so well.
Do it well? Oh yeah!
For myself. I'm out of a studio of 8 people, so as partners. So all of us try to do as much as we can.
Nice.
And a lot of it is joining the cons, extending my hand, talking to people. I you know, the tweets and the likes and all that other crap. It works. It's good. It's helpful. We have a lot of great fans and that we've never met that have gotten our stuff, and we're really happy about that. But I know for 1,000% sure the thing that makes somebody get into something more is your friend's opinion. If your buddy comes to you and says, hey, this place on the corner has a great sandwich, you're more likely to eat that than what a Yelp review says, than what a Facebook post says. Word of mouth is still king. So I'd rather have that and convince people, and it's happened with our books where I sell it to somebody and they come back and goes, my friend read it, he loves it, he wants a copy.
Well, and I wanted to just real quick, because I know marketing really well. Like I've done marketing before I got into comics. And I was going to say, like, one of the things that you said is true is very true with the idea that word of mouth is the best way. A lot of people will scoff at that. A lot of marketing people like, oh, you know, that's not true. But the biggest thing is that, like, just a quick, you know, statistic is that if you go get 1,000 flyers, you can only expect 10% return of those 1,000 flyers. And that's pretty much, you know, almost down on the dot of that. So, yeah, like, word of mouth is definitely, I think, the best way to market. And these guys are really good at that.
Yeah, and it took a long time.
I'm going to interrupt you guys, okay, because I love to give everybody 5 minutes where you can meet these guys. They're all super nice. You can come up and talk to them and ask them personal questions. Before we do, I did want to tell you about Indie Comics Magazine. Yeah, it's a great thing. 8 pages. You submit it to them if you want to get your foot in the door.
Is it Diamond Every?
I got some copies here if anybody wants. I'll hand them
out.
I'm also promoting. I never got to talk about my stuff, but I have a comic book called Horsepower G. It's an all-indie book. If you read it from the front, it is from the human perspective. If you turn it over and read it backwards, it's from the horse's perspective. So it's different, okay? But I want to thank you all, and come on up and meet these great experts. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
So I made my family like that. Give me the lip gloss.
And I got to hit that for the booth button. Booth 844.
I got the kiss of death. I got the kiss of death. Why are you running away from me? Baby, you're dead.
So that was a hell of a way to end it, huh? I have no idea who that fan was, but he was really cool. I remember talking to him afterwards, and it was kind of cool to have somebody like say all those kind words about us at Creature Entertainment and Martin over at Comic Time. But we were like surprised. But I think it's one of those things that it's taken a long time, but we've been working on it, and I guess people are noticing. I don't know. I try not to dwell on it too much, just so that I'm not some big-headed jerk later on. But that was a panel. It was really fun. I was glad I had to kind of review it and make sure like all our stupid jokes didn't come out in it, because we were like away from the mic and just be like, oh, this guy's talking, oh great, this guy. But everybody on that panel was really cool and everything else. It's just us being assholes, so if you did hear anything, I apologize. But overall, yeah, so that was a good chunk of Orlando MegaCon. I probably would get more into it, but I have so many things on my plate, folks. I gotta get going. I gotta go work at my comic book shop, get some stuff ready for C2E2. It's just insane. So, we'll talk next week. Let me know what's going on. As always, you can reach me at Fwagata, Fwacata, on Twitter. and also on my website, fuakata.com. And you can also get me on Facebook at Fuakata. So pretty much if you put Fuakata anywhere, you can find me. Let me know what's up. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know what else you want me to cover. Later on this week, I got my comic review show. We're going to be back. This time we're going to be Oye Comics. And we'll be reviewing a couple of books for FGS. And I'll probably do a couple of mini casts, hopefully over the weekend. And we'll talk more then. If there's anything you guys want me to cover, let me know. Hasta luego, folks.
Put it up and buy me. Put it up and buy me. Put it up and buy me.